Blog Talk Radio. Yane yanga nejone ko wo hail ka ye nejone ko wo hail ka ye nejone ko hail ka ye neo hotes yel has ago hail ka ye hotien has ago hail ka ye Nezone ko uo hail ka iye. Nezone ko uo hail ka iye. Nezone ko hail ka iye. Neo o. Nahasta be kaje hail ka iye. Yode askas ebel hail ka iye. Nezone ko uo hail ka iye. Nezone ko uo hail ka iye. Nezone ko hail ka iye. Neo o. Tazikre go hail ka iye. Tistaninel go hail ka iye. Nezone ko uo hail ka iye. Nezone ko uo hail ka iye. Nezone go hail ka iye. Neo o. Sote sendo sembel hail ka iye. Ayash doklesh hat hat go hail ka iye. Nezone go uo hail ka iye. Nezone go uo hail ka iye. Nezone go hail ka iye. Neo o. Sitz is gar hanal ye go hail ka iye. Sitz is bits ka ho jo go hail ka iye. Nezone go uo hail ka iye. Nezone go uo hail ka iye. Nezone go hail ka iye. Neo o. Konsa ha kespel hail ka iye. Nahat a astopet hail ka iye. Nezone go uo hail ka iye. Nezone go uo hail ka iye. Nezone go hail ka iye. Neo o. Nas ina yel yel bet hail ka iye. Koto si hasem bet hail ka iye. Nezone go uo hail ka iye. Nezone go uo hail ka iye. Nezone go hail ka iye. Neo o. Sahna ge holo go hail ka iye. Big e hojon holo go hail ka iye. Nezone go uo hail ka iye. Nezone go uo hail ka iye. Nezone go hail ka iye. Neo.
I am a human, haven't I suffered for so long, still the reason for hope, keep on holding on. I am a human, well I am a child like her, and if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a Christian, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Jew. It shouldn't matter to you. I'm not a capitalist, and I'm not a communist. I'm not a socialist, I'm not the politics. Tell me, are these the reasons you can't live right? I am a human, haven't I suffered for too long? This is the reason for hope, keep on holding on. I am a human, yes, I'm a child like her. And if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a soldier, I'm not a jihadist, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not a Hindu, I'm not a white, I am a ooh, I'm not black, and I'm not.
100 years later, the Negro is still languishing in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. Now, have you ever wondered what that passage meant from Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech? I did, and what I found was one of the biggest secrets that's not really a secret at all, except to many African Americans, is they are not descended from Africans. I know, I was shocked too, so much so that I asked Africans, and they agreed African Americans weren't Africans. If you don't believe me, Google Arnoldus Montanus America and see the people he saw in 1671. Read books like The Black American Handbook for Survival Through the 21st Century by Radine Amin-Ra, What Every African American Should Know by Cary Davis, and Africans and Native Americans by Jack Forbes. I just can't believe schools aren't teaching this stuff. What a travesty.
Halito, greetings. This is L. Ross Smith Bay, and you are tuned in live to another episode of Indigenous Philosophy Part 2. Today is March the 16th, 2017. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in on this Thursday night. This is going to be a continuation of the previous show, which was based upon the philosophy. And I also broke down the word, the origin of the meaning of philosophy. And we're going to dwell deeper into that and go further along this process of the pursuit of wisdom, which is basically a breakdown or the etymology of the word philosophy. Okay. The pursuit of wisdom. Right. And I have a book with it. I have a book here with me. And it's called The Hermetica, The Lost Wisdom of the Pharaohs. Yesterday night, I read from the Kabbalion, a study of the Hermetic philosophy of ancient Egypt. Okay. Some people might ask, what does ancient Egypt to do with America? Well, you need to go look at my previous shows, especially Indigenous Biology, and also the 12 episodes of Reclaiming Your Heritage with L. Ross Smith Bay. And in the last episodes, I break down in Indigenous archaeology, or rather how the Indigenous people of America have been reclassified and denationalized so many times that they have been almost omitted from history. And basically, their story is unknown to the masses of the world. in reality, the land that you call Egypt in Africa is actually the effect of a migration of the original Egyptians, a migration that took place in America and ended in Africa. See, the original Egypt is in South America. Okay. Teotihuacan. You can hear that, Tahuti. Even in that ancient famed city that dates back 20,000 years ago. You can hear it in the all of the indigenous names. For instance, Maat can be found in the ancient Inca empress named Maat. And she was a royal empress of the Inca. You can look at the deities of ancient Egypt, and their origins can be found within the Americas. Okay, this is why you found nicotine, which was only present in ancient America at that time. All right. This is why you can find the corn god in ancient Egypt, when corn or maize was only present in America in ancient times. That is where it originated from, the Americas. Okay. And I can go on and on, just giving you examples. That's just attesting to the fact that ancient Egypt, with its original name, one of the names was Timari, can be found on maps written in the 16 to 1700s of America. And it's called Timari. All right. So the proof is there. The facts is there. It's just hidden. These are the forbidden histories. Okay, and now we're dealing with it again. Like I said, I have a book here with me that I'm going to read out of. That's just giving some examples, you know, personifications of philosophic thought of the indigenous people of America. Okay. Again, the book is called The Hermetica, The Lost Wisdom of the Pharaohs, and I'm just going to read a couple pages from here. Now, this is from Chapter 5, The Living Cosmos. In this chapter, Hermes succinctly outlines the essence of his philosophical ideas and paints the picture of the cosmos as a living being, teeming with life. In the beginning, there is unity, fundamental forces, which, like the negative and positive poles of a battery, generate everything. Hermes describes them as light and life, which become mind and soul. We experience them as thoughts and feelings. The oneness of God is both light and life. These two forces are the parents of the mind of the cosmos. This was experienced by Hermes in his original mystical vision. As the word which calmed the dark waters, the fundamental laws of nature which bring order to the chaos. Okay. The physical cosmos is a perfect reflection of this ordering principle, the mind of the cosmos. The mind of the cosmos, the word, is in turn a reflection of God, just as a spoken word reflects the intention of its speaker. Since God is all goodness, the cosmos is therefore all good. Because the cosmos is made in the image of its creator, it too is an immortal living being. It is therefore impossible that any part of it can be dead. At its conception, it was filled with energy, which, as modern science has now proved, can neither be created nor destroyed. Myriad forms that it passes through. Energy itself is immortal. God is the source of this energy, which, through the laws of nature, creates life. The cosmic mind receives energy from God and gives it to all the things within the cosmos. Okay? Through this process, the cosmos is completely saturated with soul, the life force. Everything in it is alive. Nothing is dead, nor even so-called inanimate things. Cosmos is a great living being, which in turn gives life to all the lesser things it contains. It is the whole which nourishes its parts, like a parent caring for its children. Okay. But I just concluded the couple pages that I read. You know, I just want to expound upon a few things here. Basically, this sentence where it was saying, through this process, the cosmos is completely saturated with soul, the life force. What do they mean by soul? Essentially, soul, which is soul, in Spanish, which is sun, in English, which is light, gives you a better understanding of what they mean in that sentence, which is light, which is the sun, okay, which is the giver of light, which is the Most High, right? And again, this goes back to always understanding the origin of words, language, and not just the language that you speak, but a universal language, you know what I'm saying, a mental language, an emotional language that need not be uttered, but can simply be thought, can be felt, you know what I'm saying, telekinesis, telepathy. All these are ancient practices that we can all achieve once we have unlocked our higher selves and reached that potential through learning the laws of implementing the laws that govern the universe, and the universe will forever work in your favor. Okay. And also, of course, you notice in the book, it's using this term, God. You know, a lot of people may not have a clear image, a certain understanding or comprehension of what is God? What is this idea of God are they talking about? Because you and this and the Arthur may have a totally different. Well, first of all, you know, we're not atheists. We just have a different concept of God than you. You know what I'm saying? So this is what it goes down to. They believe God is somewhere out in the sky, in space, in a cloud. You know what I'm saying? We believe it is inside of us. And what is inside is outside, as above, so below, as within, so without. We are simply a reflection of the universe. That gave a little clarity there. And I also want to read from the book I read from last night, which was The Kabbalion. And I'm going to read from chapter 5. Okay. And again, this is just basically expounding upon the philosophy, you know, dealing with that ancient wisdom. And in chapter 5, it begins, the mental universe. The universe is mental, held in the mind of the all. The all is spirit, but what is spirit? This question cannot be answered for the reason that its definition is practically that of the all, which cannot be explained or defined. Spirit is simply a name that men give to the highest conception of infinite living mind. Transcends our understanding, and we use the term merely that we may think or speak of the all. For the purposes of thought and understanding, we are justified in thinking of spirit as infinite living mind. What is the universe? We have seen that there can be nothing outside of the all. Then is the universe the all? No, this cannot be, because the universe seems to be made up of many and is constantly changing. The universe be not the all, then it must be nothing. Such is the inevitable conclusion of the mind at first thought. And it continues to go on by saying, but what indeed is the universe if it is not the all, yet created by the all, having separated itself into fragments? Own plane of being, how does man create? Well, first he may create by making something out of outside materials, but this will not do, for there are no materials outside of the all with which it may create. Following the principle of correspondence, we are justified in considering that the all creates the universe mentally, in a manner akin to the process whereby man creates mental images. The all creates in its infinite mind countless universe which exists for eons of time, and yet to the all the creation, development, decline, and death of a million universe is as the time of the twinkling of an eye. The principle of gender is manifested on all planes of life, material, mental, and spiritual, but as we have said before, gender does not mean sex. Sex is merely a material manifestation of gender. Gender means referring to the generation or creation, and whenever anything is generated or created on any plane, the principle of gender must be manifest, and this is true even in the creation of the universe. You know, that can be present, the moon and the sun, right? How the moon is feminine, that encompasses or personifies that female energy, and the sun personifies that masculine energy, right? The little tidbit of the information that can be found as far as indigenous thought dealing with the Hermetic and the Kabbalistic thought. And this is implemented, and this information can be utilized and maintained in everyday life. These principles are not like based upon something that is foreign, you know what I'm saying, or out of world. You can implement these principles, all the various universal laws that I spoke upon last night, in your everyday life, and allow you to become the best version of yourself and create the best reality for yourself. And this concludes another series, or rather episode, of Indigenous Philosophy, Part 2. And you know, all my episodes are 12 parts. So there'll be 10 more parts of Indigenous Philosophy. So also, if you want to get more insight as far as identity, you know what I'm saying? You may want to go back and review all of the previous shows on reclaiming your heritage with L. Rod Smith Bay. Right, that gives a lot of insight. Tomorrow, I'm going to speak upon identity and reclamation. Okay? Because there is a process that you must go through. That's with anything. There is a process that you must go through in reclaiming who you are and proclaiming who you are. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. And you know what? I think I'm going to switch that up. Tomorrow I'm going to go over indigenous agriculture because I want to just go into the importance of having a local food infrastructure set in place. Developing, maintaining, and sustaining. All right, a local food source that is independently, or it can be locally maintained by the people that stay in the community. Because many times we live in what is known as a food desert. For those who do not know, is an area where you must go out of your walking distance to find fresh fruits and vegetables. Yet, on every block, you can find a McDonald's, a KFC, right? Or Chick-fil-A, you know what I'm saying? But there's no fresh food. There's no grocery stand or grocery store. Fast food is not real food, so that's why it's called a food desert. Okay? I see we have a caller. See if she has any questions or comments. Last four digits ending in 1800. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, salam.
Salam.
Was actually wondering if you could touch on the gender and sex again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, basically everything on this physical plane has a gender. You know what I'm saying? Everything is under this universal law of gender, or this principle of gender. And there's this new thing they have now, and it's called, or rather, this is what they say, it's called a sex change, or they supposedly can change the sex of the individual from male to female by, removing certain sexual organs or replacing different sexual organs to match with that supposed sex change, right? Well, actually, the problem with that whole idea is that on a biological level, or down into the, on a cellular level, that doesn't change. Your physical appearance doesn't change your cellular level. So even though you may appear to look like a woman because you had that sex change and you got your genitalia cut off or removed and you got breasts and everything, that doesn't make you a female. You still have the same amount of chromosome within your genetics. So they haven't changed your genetics. So on a biological level, you are still a male. So your sex hasn't changed, only your appearance. And, you know, I just wanted to bring that up. And also, like I was saying on the previous shows, how it is present in everything, which can be found as far as in the lock and the key, as far as in the plant world, you know what I'm saying, the stamen and the pistil. Stamen is the male part of the flower, and the pistil is the female part or the ovum within the flower that has the seed in order to produce fruit. So the stamen has the pollen, which is essentially a sperm. And, you know, once that fertilization occurs, that's also present in many things in nature, animals, etc.
So yeah. I saw on your Instagram, or I think you had mentioned, yeah, on your Instagram you had said, you posted something about the frogs and the azurfan chemical that they have been testing on the frogs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's this scientist. I'll go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, yeah, that scientist, you know, he was doing studies and he discovered that the government was putting in, like you said, astaxanthin, that chemical that was actually on a molecular level changing the actual sex, the cells from male to female. So that's the actual sex change, right? Because that's going into the cells, that's going into the genetics of it. So they're literally changing it from the inside out, not from the outside in. Because that's not how it works. But and that's what they're actually putting in the water. He said it was, the actual quote he made was saying that the astaxanthin that transforming those frogs or mutating those frogs, male frogs into females, it was 3 times less in tap water. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you for explaining that to me. That's basically all I wanted to ask.
Oh, thank you for calling in. And, you know, there's also in nature, just because I know someone was like, why haven't I spoke about this? Well, but there's actually something called a hermaphrodite where there is it is a complete organism where it has the sexual organs of a male and female in one body, and it's called a hermaphrodite. Oh yeah, I just wanted to bring that up, and that's just dealing with the ancient. Yeah, that's just dealing with the ancient time when the female was there first, and she was perfect. But she had both male and female genitalia.
Is that how she produced asexually, maybe?
Oh, yeah, exactly. The whole immaculate conception idea. You know, that was the actual fact. You know, even
wow.
In India, you know, right, even in India, you have certain women that were still reproducing babies, actual, without any, without the help of a male. But yeah, very fascinating.
Wow, that's dope. You should have a segment one day where you could talk about that.
Yeah, I most definitely add that in there as well. It's a good idea.
Well, thank you again. I always enjoy calling in and listening to your show.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you called in.
All right. Well, you have a good night.
Okay. Yeah, I have went past the time once again. So, yeah, it concludes another show. But, yeah, thank you for calling in. Enjoy the rest of your night.
You too.
All right. Salam.
Salam.
All right. What was the rest of the show tonight? That was a very great question. You know. And I'd like to thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Indigenous Philosophy Part 2. I'll be on tomorrow at 10 o'clock p.m. Central Time Zone. Don't forget to hit that follow button just in case you want to get any notifications so that they may so that may be alerted of another show or a show that I may cancel. You know what I'm saying? And with that being said, your identity is your most valuable possession, because without it, you are no one. Wanishi. Salam.
I am a human. I haven't had to fight for so long. Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. And if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Jew. It shouldn't matter to you. I'm not a capitalist. And I'm not a communist. I'm not a socialist. I'm not the politics. Tell me, are these the reasons you can't live right? I am a human. Haven't I suffered for too long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Yes, I'm a child like her. And if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a soldier. I'm not a jihadist. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Hindu. I'm not a white. I am a who. I'm not black.